You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again the most frequent guest on the show, Michael Oliver. And I would suggest you go to olivermsa.com, olivermsa.com, to learn more about Michael's work. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Always good to have you with us, and I know that that is what our listeners believe and how they feel as well. I get a lot of very positive feedback from your presence with us, so I want to just really, we're really grateful for your presence. Michael, let's look at the S&P 500. It's certainly, it's off its highs, for sure. I think it got close to 2,900, but if I look at a price chart, there doesn't seem to be any really serious downside threat at this stage. In fact, I see it has actually broken out above a downtrend from the peak, you know, a short-term downtrend. Mm-hmm. Applying your structural momentum readings, how are you viewing the S&P now at this point in time?
I think it's a major coil off the highs. Okay, the S&P we're talking about now, the broader market.
Yes.
Not the blow-off stuff, the Adobes, the Amazons of the world. When they come down, we'll come down like an elevator being cut. But the S&P, I think, is going to decline in layers. It's probably going to be an arduous bear market. I think we've started it. I think it's just wasting time. It's coiling, twisting, redundant price action. You could draw a line sideways through where we are right now and go back about 3 months. Mm-hmm. It's just up and down and up and down. It's great for three-day traders, but mm-hmm. for some investors, they've got to be scratching their heads, whether they're short investors or long. But I think there's enough damage been done that the asset class shift against stocks is underway, but it'll unfold in layers. It will not be an easy downturn. Most tops in the S&P are not easy. Go back and examine the 2007 and 8 top and the manner in which that bear market declined. There were savage rallies. In fact, there was one day on the way down that you rallied 100 points in one day.
Yeah.
We're talking price levels that are way below where we are now.
Yes.
So expect that. If you're a bear on stocks, don't be hyper-leveraged. Be patient. And enter in layers. Don't put it all on at once. And that's what we're focused on right now is a second layer of selling, a second place to sell. But I think the shift is underway. I think money's moving gradually out, distributing its way out of that market.
Where do you think it's going? Where's it going?
Oh, I've thought about that, and I really don't know. In other words, you could look at a price chart going back 30, 40 years and say, well, gee, the 1500s were two peaks. You know, mm-hmm. 2000 and 2007, we're in the 1500s. So let's go back and sit on that. Well, that's a possibility, but that's a price-based one. And I frankly think that the unwinding that you've been talking about of these major, bigger-than-stock market events opened the possibility for something more than anybody can maybe even technically anticipate. Mm-hmm. I think the direction's changing, and it's going to be big. But there's other big things going on, too, that are probably easier to catch if you're out there to make money in terms of percent gain without as much effort. And I think that's it primarily in the commodity area.
I know you're very bullish on the commodities. Before we get to commodities, I'd like to ask you about what your view is now on the U.S. Treasuries. Have they been broken? Are you definitively broken now in your point of view?
Fully broken. I think they're set up for a counter-trend rally. And I would say, you know, at least a six-point rally at some point. We're talking T-bonds now, T-bond futures.
Yeah.
They got down to a low about 141 and change, and it wouldn't shock me if you saw 148 on a rally, if the rally begins soon. There's some technical evidence that it's trying to generate that turn. But I think that turn will be coincident with a next sharp drop in stocks. In other words, a flight to safety that's brief, that helps the bonds have a counter-trend rally. But we turned major bearish on T-bonds, the long end of the debt market, in October of 2016. Price then was 166 on the T-bond futures. Right now they're laboring in the low 140s. So they've already gone a long way. We think they could go into the 120s, which would get yields on 30 years up to 4.25%.
Wow.
That's not the end of it, but that's just the next leg. But I see room for a counter-trend rally, and it might just be associated with a next sharp drop in stocks, as sometimes is, you know, that happens.
Well, yeah, it makes the stocks, it makes its competitive competition for the stock market,
yeah,
but also
a brief period of time, you know, not a long-term divergence between them. I think they're both going down big in their long-term trends, price of bonds and price of stocks. But those little counter-trend flurries can occur when stocks get whacked.
Yeah, and keep everybody off balance, of course.
Michael,
what about the short end of the yield curve? Because it seems to me we're certainly seeing a flattening of the curve, which usually portends tougher times for the equity market as well as the economy in general. Usually portends a recession a lot of times anyway. Do you look at the twos and the tens and things like that
really
as well?
I don't look at them that much, and I don't make a lot out of the curve. Everybody does. We don't focus on that issue that much. We're looking at the major trend direction of 10 and 30 year type maturities, both here and overseas. And we see that trend as being down in price, up in yields. Again, with the caveat that you can have counter trend rallies whenever stocks get whacked too quickly.
Right.
But no, I don't focus on the yield curve. A lot of people make big deal out of that, and they look back at various examples in the past, and I don't do that.
Okay. Well, you certainly you have your own way of looking at things, which is why we love to have you here. You know, most people, so if we got a rising yield market, a lot interest rates are on the rise. Most people figure you can't have a commodity bull market in a rising interest rate environment. You can't have gold prices rising in a rising interest rate market. You and I have lived long enough to remember a time when that happened, big time in the 1970s. But comment on that, if you would. And what are your charts?
I think it's the mid to late 70s all over again, period.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the asset classes, like the Bloomberg Commodity Index, for example, right now. I read these headlines in all the financial press on TV and so forth about, the strong dollar, which is a counter-trend rally there, by the way, and rising interest rates will keep commodities suppressed. Well, tell the Bloomberg Commodity Index that. It's taken out 2- and 3-year highs today.
Yeah.
It's up to 91.5, and I'm telling you, if you get up to, I've got specific numbers that I've told my subscribers, but about 1% above where you are now, they're going to launch it. Now, that's going to happen it's going to happen with commodities going up, not just one commodity. And frankly, I don't think it's going to be the lead, won't be oil. I think the grains will have a great say about that, and including things like sugar, cocoa, and coffee, you know, things you don't look at normally. But the Bloomberg's making new highs, multi-year highs right now, and everybody's talking about how that can't be happening.
Yeah.
Yet it is.
Well, and oil prices, too. And, people talking about $4 gasoline and stuff. So the grains, and agricultural commodities in general, I know you've been very bullish on those, and they're really starting to take off now. Yeah.
They're pushing out highs of the last few years. Soybeans are a bit below, but corn and wheat are pressing at the last couple of years' highs in price, and they're acting rambunctious. And there's no particular reason for that. It's not like we've got some great weather problem. I think it's just they were too low, too long, and they're starting to adjust for that. You'll probably get some kind of story to explain an upside move. There always is one. But we look at it technically, and we think they have the potential to be the biggest percent gainers this year among the commodities.
Well, there's lots and lots of stories when markets move, and they're just speculation more than anything a lot of times. It has nothing's measurable, but your work is measurable in the sense, and you don't care what's causing the markets to move, but you, with a highly success rate, are very accurate in giving us the direction of things, which is why we love to have you here. You commented very briefly on the dollar showing some strength, and I mean, the dollar has been showing some strength, but your technical work suggests that that we're in a bear market for the dollar. It's a counter-trend rally, you said, right? Counter-trend rally,
We're short the dollar index. We gave a major sell signal last May, so a year ago, at 99. Okay. It dropped down to close to 88. It's rallied back to 94.06 yesterday, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a counter-trend rally. Everybody's now turned bullish on the dollar. A lot of shorts who were maybe particularly positioned late in the downtrend got hurt by this rally. They didn't sell at 99. They sold at 92 or something. and therefore they got pinched. And that's what happens. That's how counter-trend rallies occur. That's why they occur, to clean the market out so it can go lower. And I think the dollar index rally just might have seen its peak yesterday.
Interesting.
I've got some reasons for that, and I won't go into the details. But if it has, then that will obviously help the gold turnaround, which is already underway, the turnaround from the recent break, which, by the way, silver did not participate in.
Right.
Gold went down and took out the lows since January by a percent or so, just enough to stop a lot of people out. Silver did not do that. And I don't think anybody noticed that.
Regarding gold, do you think we've once again escaped your go-to-neutral level, or is it too early to tell?
Yeah, my go-to-neutrals, I wiped them out the other day. I said had originally said if you close a month at 1290 or lower, which we've not done, of course, at this point, monthly close. I looked at a lot of other indicators that I maintain, and it says, no, that's not a good number. And I said, I will update that if I think we need to have a number like that, a protective number below. But I frankly think the turn is already underway. I think the dollar surge yesterday that hit a certain number that I like to see hit, and now the downturn from that, gold immediately flipped back up, and I think gold goes, if gold, put it this way, gold's in the low 1290s, you get above 1300 again, I think you're going to zap it right back up into that range again. Range has been in, 13 to 1350 area.
Yeah, and I know that you give your subscribers definite numbers at different times as time goes on, what they should be looking at, and that's one of the reasons I just love getting your work every day to keep sort of help me keep my feet on the ground with regard to, because boy, it's awfully easy to get discouraged if you're long and you see gold dipping below 1300, you say, uh-oh, here we go again, and that's sort of confidence in the structure, the momentum and structure, which I think is so important. That's what's unique about your work and your own proprietary work. Michael, I want to thank you again for being with us. I know
thank
that so we're really looking forward to having you back again next week. Thank you so much. Well, folks, don't go away. We're going to have David McElvaney with us right after the commercial break, and he's going to talk to us about some really important issues, very much related to what Michael and I were just talking about, but more from a fundamental point of view. We'll be talking to David McElvaney then. Until then, okay, we'll see you right after the break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.